Right now, we're going to talk to the man who focuses on Jerusalem, Israel, and the entire Middle East. We're talking about David Dolan, longtime journalist headquartered in the city of Jerusalem. Last couple of weeks, we've been talking with David while he's been in the British Isles on a speaking tour. I think he's made his way across the big pond and is in the southern extremities of our United States. Where did we find you, David?
Well, that's right, Jimmy. I'm actually in Florida just briefly taking care of some business, and I've got some meetings here, and then I'm heading up to the northwest to see some family and friends. So both corners of the country.
Well, you actually were in a part of the world where it was pretty chilly and rainy over there in the British Isles. Any change in the climate to where you're located?
Well, the remnants of the hurricane, Hurricane Ida, that went through, well, is now still, I think, up in the northeast, did drop the temperatures here and bring some rain. So it went from the high 80s to the high 70s. So it's still pretty warm. But
a little bit of a chill factor down there, huh?
Yeah, it was, for here, a bit of a chill, but it's rapidly dissipating.
Well, that's the end of our weather forecast meteorologically. We're not going to discuss this anymore. Let's get to the Middle East instead and what is going on there. David, there's a headline in the Jerusalem Post this morning. Not sure if you've been able to see it yet. Palestinian authorities say they may seek the United Nations to recognize a Palestinian state with the 67 borders. Forget about the peace process. What do you know about that?
Well, I did see that report, Jimmy, and it's come after almost daily statements by Mahmoud Abbas, the PA leader, and other senior Palestinian officials on various topics related to the peace process, related to the possibility of a Palestinian state. And most of the statements have been pretty dire. One said that the Oslo peace process is over, and it's time to just declare it dead, and thereby implying that the Palestinians wouldn't be obligated anymore to any of their commitments to recognize Israel and to cease violence, etc. We had a warning that a new Palestinian uprising could be imminent if Israel doesn't freeze all building in East Jerusalem. We've heard that one before, but that was issued again this week. We had Mahmoud Abbas saying he may not run, that he will not run for president of the Palestinian Authority. You and I talked about that before, but adding that the elections that he scheduled for January 24th may be postponed, may be canceled because Hamas is resisting holding those elections. And now this statement about possibly just self-declaring a Palestinian state, which would seemingly further upset the whole apple cart in the region. So it's not clear to me exactly what the Palestinian leadership is up to by issuing these series of kind of dire statements, but it certainly doesn't indicate that the peace process is in a healthy condition, and that Prime Minister Netanyahu's remarks Monday in New York that he wants the peace process to get back on track and wants to finalize a deal with the Palestinians, that has any chance of actually coming into being, bearing any fruit anytime soon.
Yeah, that seems to be my analysis as well. David, what about this White House meeting between President Obama and the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu? As I heard it just a few moments ago, Bob told us, Bob McGinnis, that indeed Netanyahu was sitting on the tarmac at Andrews Air Force Base, having already landed here in the United States before he got the confirmation that he was going to have a White House meeting with the president. But then there was complete silence afterwards. What do you make of all of this?
Well, it was unusual in the sense that there were supposed to be press conferences given by Netanyahu and also Defense Minister Ehud Barak, who sat in on part of that presidential meeting at the White House. Other Israeli top aides did as well, and Obama had George Mitchell, his Mideast envoy, and some others sitting in for part of it. But part of the rather long, we were told it was 2.5 hours altogether, longer than planned. Part of that was just between Netanyahu and Obama. What was said there, of course, has not been revealed, but Netanyahu has strongly denied in the past couple days The initial reports, rumors, he called them, that the meeting had gone badly, that there was bad blood between the two leaders, and, you know, harsh words. He said that wasn't at all the case. It was very warm, very cordial, very deep. And they did say, the only statement that was put out, that they discussed the Palestinian peace process and the president's desire to get that moving, and also Iran and its nuclear program. Well, I would presume they also discussed the possibility that Netanyahu will order some sort of military action against Iran, with Ehud Barak and others supporting him. That has to be something that is, to say the least, of interest to the president and to the American administration leaders. So I'm sure that was discussed, but again, we had no actual confirmation of the details of this meeting, just those general topics given, and it does indicate that it was probably a pretty important discussion, whether it was pre-planned, as you say, whether it wasn't clear that it was going to go off until just the last minute. It seems to have been a very important meeting, having lasted much longer than expected.
Yes, absolutely. A couple of other items real quickly, if we can squeeze them in this segment, David. After he finished at the White House and then making giving an address, I believe, to a Jewish group, he went off to Paris and met with President Sarkozy of France, talking about the possibility of going to the negotiating table with the Syrians. Bashar Assad, president of Syria, making that trip to Paris on Friday, going to be talking with Rani Levy, a former aide to the prime minister of Israel, in just a moment about this, but your observations of what's going on there, David.
Well, it was interesting that they seemingly focused in Paris on the Syrian track, as it's called, the possibility of peace between Israel and Syria, which has been definitely on hold for the last few years, although we had under Ehud Olmert some unofficial talks going on in Turkey, not direct talks, but indirect talks. Turkey, of course, has backed away from military exercises with Israel recently, and the alliance is souring. So the speculation in Israel is that maybe France will replace Turkey as a mediator with Syria. But as you said, Assad is going there. He also made a very strong statement this week, blasting Israel, saying he wants all of the Golan back and there'll be no peace unless he gets every inch back, and blasting the way Israel handled the war last winter in the Gaza Strip. So not warm words there.
Give me about a minute, if you will, David. The foreign minister of Jordan in the United States saying that Jerusalem is a ticking time bomb. Basically talking about the conflict between those Jews who want to go up on the Temple Mount, put a temple up, and the Muslim world.
Well, and of course we've had those statements for many years, because I think you would agree it's been a ticking time bomb in a sense for many years. And the issue of a possible Jewish temple there always ignites the Muslim world, not just the Arab world, and even talk from a small Israeli group about it, this isn't the government talking about it, has set passions aflame again, and obviously regional leaders commenting on it.
Well, when we think about the activities surrounding the Temple Mount, the Jews basically ultimately do want to put a temple up there, but that's not their... they basically now just want to simply go up there and visit, and it looks like the people, the Palestinian Authority, who has custodial rights, the Islamic Trust, they don't want anybody other than Muslims up there to worship on this sacred site, while it's sacred to Jews, Christians, and Muslims.
Well, you're right, and Christians have been harassed for carrying up a Bible. A couple I know, a former pastor, his wife got a little concerned and held his hand, and they nearly drove them off the site. They were screaming and shouting. So yeah, they're pretty exclusive about it, but as you say, it's a holy site and has been a holy site to Jews and Christians for much longer than it has been to Muslims, obviously. So they have to keep that in mind for sure.
And when you go to the prophetic scriptures, the ancient Jewish prophet Zechariah said in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 2 and 3 that this was going to be the center of controversy in the last days. Dr. Rennie Schowers will be later with us on this broadcast. I'm going to ask him about that, what the Bible really says about ultimately what will happen with Israel and with, in particular, Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. David, thank you so very much for joining us. Welcome back to the United States, and we'll be talking along the way as you travel across the world.
Thank you, Jimmy.